Hello, everyone. It is Connor here.
And Gabe, and as you might be able to hear from the recording quality, we aren't not in the studio right now. We're sitting in our office. It is 7 o'clock. All the Deutsche Welle studios are closed. We are staying late because the story that we're covering right now is just so good we had to.
Yeah, this story, it took a while to build, and it's boiling now, if you want to say that. Came across my radar a couple weeks back when there were reports, unsubstantiated, that US diplomats in China had been forced to take an anal swab for COVID-19. And when I first saw that, I just thought, no way. They were citing some unnamed person. There's no way that this is happening in real life, in the real world. And then, a short while later, Japan chimes in and says, "Hey, China, please stop. Stop doing that to our diplomats." And so this is now report number two, and I thought, okay, that's kind of odd. And then one of the state secretaries in Tokyo comes out and says, "Some Japanese reported to our embassy in China that they received anal swab tests, which caused a great psychological pain." So now I'm thinking, okay, this sounds like something is really maybe happening. Then South Korea's foreign ministry chimes in saying that now South Korean visitors were allowed to submit stool samples when they travel to China instead of, quote, Chinese authorities taking them directly, which raises all sorts of questions. How do you submit your own stool sample? Do you bring Tupperware? I don't know how that works. And then finally, and a lot of this, I'm basing this on Reuters reporting, according to China's own CDC. So their Center for Disease Control in Shanghai, if you're traveling there as a foreigner, you too will have to get an anal swab test if five people on your passenger airplane test positive for the coronavirus, or you're coming from a region that China has determined to be a high-risk zone. This is real.
Connor, this is not a politics podcast. It's a science podcast, and the question now is, why is China doing? Is there a reason, a diagnostic reason for why they are testing in this way? And we got in touch with a researcher out of New York City who has experience with this kind of test.
Science Unscripted.
So, hello everyone. My name is Dr. Wendy Simchuk. I am the director of the clinical microbiology lab at Montefiore Medical Center. That's in the Bronx in New York. And my colleagues and I have been very involved with implementing diagnostic testing for COVID-19 disease in our laboratories. And as part of that work, we have done some research where we have looked at the utility of stool PCR for detecting SARS-CoV-2 RNA.
So, Wendy, what can a stool PCR test do differently diagnostically or better than one of those oral or nasal swabs that most of us at this point are kind of familiar with?
The main advantage of a stool PCR is that you can detect the SARS-CoV-2 RNA for a longer period of time post-symptom onset. So for the traditional nose and throat nasopharyngeal PCRs, you can detect virus usually for about 2 weeks if the patient has mild symptoms, if they were otherwise healthy. Whereas in the stool, it's been shown that you can usually detect the virus for about 4 weeks, and in some patients, even longer, even out to 70 days. The biggest caveat, though, is that not all patients will shed the viral RNA in the stool.
Why is that? Why, when you look in the stool, is virus there longer than in the throat?
You know, I don't think we really know that. We do know that the virus can infect the cells within the GI tract, but we don't really know why you tend to shed longer in the stool versus the upper respiratory tract.
So to summarize, there is some sense in potentially testing this way, in conducting a stool PCR test, if you're trying to figure out, in a longer time frame, whether or not somebody still has the coronavirus in them.
Yes, it makes sense. It just depends on the purpose of why you're doing the test. So, for a patient where you're trying to make the diagnosis, if they're presenting to a medical center or urgent care center, it can be helpful because you have that extra time frame to be able to pick up the infection. Now, whether it's useful in an asymptomatic patient and for screening purposes, that's a little bit harder to say. And the reason is that we just don't know if those patients are only shedding virus in the stool, if they are able to transmit the infection to others.
When it comes to testing for COVID-19, what are the disadvantages of using a stool test or an anal swab?
So I think one of the disadvantages is that it can never be used as a standalone test. It should always be done with that nasopharyngeal PCR. The other obvious disadvantage is that people just don't like it. They don't want to have an anal swab done, especially if they've just traveled and they've just gotten off of a plane. It can just be an uncomfortable specimen to collect. Doing stool testing is another option, but I think, as you can imagine, that's probably a logistic issue with just trying to collect those specimens.
I guess I'd like to ask you one of those questions that, you know, there's always the question that you're actually embarrassed to ask your doctor, but finally, at the last minute, you ask the doctor the question anyway. And mine is, how does an anal swab work exactly? Are people doing this themselves? Typically, do they go into a bathroom stall and do this? Or is there a medical professional with them?
Yeah, I think these are normally done by a medical professional. The swab is put in about an inch and rotated and pulled back out.
Do you see any reason why, for example, if you were given the choice to test people, a large number of people, what would be the logic for opting for anal swabs rather than, you know, the swabs that we're all used to?
You know, I don't think you could do the anal swabs alone. I think the question is, does it make sense to do both the nasopharyngeal swab and the anal swab to pick up people that you may miss by the upper respiratory testing? And that's where I think we just don't know. It's a lot of extra work. It's a lot of extra resources. There is, you know, it's uncomfortable for the people that are, say, traveling. And we just don't know if it's necessary. We don't know what it means to be shedding that virus in the stool. Are you really putting others at risk of having a secondary infection?
And that was Wendy Simchak coming to us there from the Bronx.
Yeah, and Wendy, you know, didn't really give a firm yes or no answer on that one, on whether or not, you know, if she had the choice, if she would use an anal swab as a diagnostic tool for large groups of people. I'm going to go ahead and say that I wouldn't, based directly on what she said. I mean, why, if you have to also do, you know, the oral or nasal swab as well, then why not just stick to that one? And the only thing that occurred to me after we talked to her was maybe the idea that Chinese authorities are wondering whether, look, like if you have virus in your stool and then you use a restroom at the airport, is it possible that there's some sort of fecal transfer or aerosol infection? That's an interesting question to think about.
That seems like a pretty specific risk to warrant doing a test like this if we don't know that even if the fecal test is positive, that those people are infectious, that they can spread the virus. I would not do this test if I were in charge.
Yeah, my money is still on the mouth and nose test. As uncomfortable as those are, I would personally stick with them. Hey, if you have any opinion on this wild topic, get in touch with us. We're su@dw.com.
Connor, we got to get home.
Science Unscripted.